Welcome to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, hosted by Beth Burschak, with expert advice from Jim Lang, Pittsburgh-based CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert. Jim is also the author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. To find out more about his book, his practice, Lang Financial Group, and how to secure Jim as a speaker for your next event, visit his website at retiresecure.com. Now, get ready to talk smart money.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are talking smart money tonight, and especially tonight, smart money for women. I'm Beth Burschak, Jim Lang, CPA, attorney, best-selling author of two editions of the book, Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later, and a very special guest joining us tonight, Kim Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Woman. She also hosts the PBS special, Finding the Rich Woman in You, and she founded the Rich Dad Company with her husband and business partner, Robert Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And thank you so much for joining us tonight, Kim.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Hey,
appreciate it.
I do want to, I'm going to open the phone lines tonight, too, and after I give the phone number, 412-333-9385, I want to mention that if you call in with a question tonight, if you get on the air with your question, we are going to send you a free copy of Jim's book, Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. That's a special offer just for tonight. So it's 412-333-9385, a copy of Retire Secure if you get on the air with a question. Now, Kim, you claim that there's a rich woman in every woman.
That's correct.
You think that's true?
I think that's absolutely true.
Now, we just need to find it.
Where do you find it?
Where do you find it?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I think the main problem regarding women and money is that so many of us have not had the financial education and don't know how to take care of ourselves financially in many ways. And if I could quickly share some statistics with you, which were pretty startling to me.
They are startling. I know what stats you're about to toss out, and they're really shocking.
Yes, and this is in the U.S., and I travel all over the world, and I'm finding these statistics. The trend is very similar in most other countries, but 47% of women over the age of 50 are single, meaning most of these women have got to take care of themselves financially. Many of us have heard the divorce rate. One out of two marriages ends in divorce. Who usually ends up with the children? The woman. So now she has to take care of herself and her children. And it's the on average, the first year after a divorce, a woman's standard of living drops 45%.
That's incredible.
It is really shocking to me. One of the most shocking, Beth, is that of the elderly living in poverty, 3 out of 4 are women, yet 80% of these women were not poor when their husbands were alive.
So we need to do something about the stats.
Yes, exactly.
Now, before we get into all of this, you have an absolutely fascinating personal story. Can we go back to when you and Robert were first married and you were literally living in your car?
We were. We say we met and fell in love in 1984. 1985 was the worst year of our life. What happened is we sold everything we had. We were living in Honolulu, Hawaii at the time. Robert shut down his factory. I quit my job, and we sold everything we had, and we moved to California to build a business. And in about 2 to 3 months, we had run out of our money, and we were still building the business, and we were flat broke. And it was a very tough time. We really were struggling financially. We slept in a car sometimes. We were homeless for a short period of time. We slept on people's floors. There were times where I had like a dollar to get me through a weekend. And I think probably the toughest thing of all is during that time, my self-esteem took such a pounding because I started to doubt myself. I started to doubt Robert. I started to doubt their relationship. I started to doubt my ability to produce anything. So looking back on that time, I would say that was probably the toughest time I've faced, or one of the toughest times I faced. But in retrospect, it's probably one of the best things that could have happened for me and happened for me and Robert, because to get through that time and to persevere made me a stronger person individually and made us a stronger couple together.
And it was shortly after that you guys started to build your, well, you built an empire, then you retired, and then you built another one.
We did, and it's interesting. People think when we say we retired, I was 37 at the time, Robert was 47. when we retired, people think we had millions and millions of dollars, which we did not. The whole key for us is what we started doing is we didn't live in the big house. We didn't have the expensive cars. We lived pretty basically. But what we did is with all the money that we didn't put into the big house, we started buying assets. And we started buying primarily real estate and rental real estate that every month would put cash in our pocket. So we would buy a property, we'd collect the rent, we'd pay the expenses, we'd pay the mortgage, and if we managed it correctly, at the end of every month, we'd have a positive cash flow or profit. So when we retired back in 1994, we had $10,000 a month coming in every month from our properties. So, it's not Donald Trump money. It's not billions. It's not millions. It's $10,000 a month. But the beauty was we only had $3,000 a month in living expenses. So at that point, we had more money coming in from our real estate and our assets than was going out in living expenses. So at that point, we were financially free.
And Kim, Jim has been reading your book, Rich Woman. What did you call it? Jim gave it the Sex in the City kind of a spin.
I like that. I like that a lot.
It's hard for me to believe I'm the first person that came up with that.
I'm going to use that, okay?
Because I write in a little bit of a more dry, here it is type thing. I try to put case studies in, but yours was more like this conversation, and I just pictured you and your flashy girlfriends and
in New
and
York
restaurants.
Having lunch.
And actually, as long as we're on that, I'll tell you, to me, one of the most fun things in the book, and maybe you could expand on this, is that you said that there were three different types of guys. There were bad boys, nice guys, and the wimps.
Yeah.
And then you used that terminology to describe investments. And I thought that might be a terrific place to talk to some of our listeners, to talk about bad boys, nice guys, and wimps, and how that relates to the investment world.
Oh, sure, sure. And first of all, I want to say, Jim, I have read much, not all of your book. I like your book a lot because it is so jam-packed full of information. And it's the kind of book I don't have to read from start to finish. I can look at the piece that's applicable to me at the time.
Right, you
so
can
it really
jump
is
around.
It's a fantastic resource. I just want to let you know that I have seen it and I have read parts of it, and I think it's exceptional.
Well, I appreciate that.
Of course. So my girlfriend once said to me, there are three types of men in the world. And I said, you got to be kidding. There's more than three types. And she goes, no, let me tell you, and you tell me if you can come up with another one. So she said, first there's the bad boys. The bad boys, they want to break the rules. They make life difficult. They're a challenge. And you have great highs and you have great lows, but you're never, ever bored. But they are a lot of work. And those are the bad boys. Then you have the nice guys. And these are your friends, your buddies, the guys you just like to hang out with and, you know, go have a beer or a glass of wine with. And you can talk to these guys, and they're really a friend and somebody that you can count on. And you'll know that they'll be there for you when you need them. And then there are the wimps, and these are the guys you just want to kind of grab around the neck and shake to wake up, to do something.
No, what kind of guy is Robert?
Oh, I have to say, he's a bad boy. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been bored since the day I met him. But relating that to investments, I see it very similar, because you have your investments that can be really a challenge. And they can be more work, such as, let's say you have a rental unit that has a ton of deferred maintenance and it's got bad tenants, and so you're going to have to work more, you're going to have to put more into it, you're going to have to pay more attention to it, but if you do a good job, the rewards are going to be that much higher. So those are your bad boys. Your nice guys are the ones you don't have to put in so much effort, you don't have to put in so much time, and they will return money to you every month consistently, like a stock dividend might. Or a piece of a rental property that just kind of operates on its own without a lot of maintenance and property management. And then there are your wimps. And for me today, I would call a savings account a wimp. I would call a CD a wimp, because with the rate of inflation, you're actually going negative every month.
Would you ever invest in a wimp?
I would not. That's actually a great point, Beth, because if you don't have the financial education, then you're better off investing in the wimps, because they're going to be a lot less risk for you. But if you get the financial education, of which I'm all about, is getting financially educated and becoming an active investor, then I'd much rather have the nice guys than the bad boys, because they're going to give me greater returns if I know what I'm doing.
Right. What if you don't know what you're doing and you pick a bad boy?
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing and you pick a bad boy, you're probably going to be in big trouble. You're going to want a divorce real quick.
Can you divorce a bad boy investment?
You're going to want to cut your losses early and run. Actually, you know, a lot of people, they got in trouble because what they were doing, especially with real estate, when this whole thing came crashing down, with real estate, they were buying property to flip. So they were looking for capital gains and they were looking for appreciation, but they didn't have the financial education to know what to do if the market turned. So for a lot of people, when they were buying property to flip, hoping that the market would keep going up, they were actually, I would say, they were investing in the bad boys because they didn't have the education to understand what to do when the market turned.
And the consequences for that can be lethal. I had a client who basically borrowed money to purchase a property to flip. The property went down drastically in value.
Yes.
Now they have these payments.
Yes.
And they couldn't even sell the property, even if somebody bought it, because they couldn't go to closing.
Exactly.
And they came in to see me, and I hated to say this, but I actually recommended that they go bankrupt so they could preserve their IRA and their retirement plan, so at least they won't be in the street.
It's going to be difficult because the price of real estate is so high. So some places will be more difficult to find cash flow properties. Matter of fact, when the markets were so high and properties were so overvalued, we were still finding cash flow properties, but you did have to do your homework. You did have to look harder. It wasn't as easy as it used to be, which is why I'm very excited. Unfortunately, a lot of people are in a lot of trouble right now with their real estate, and a lot of people are losing their homes or losing the properties that they've purchased. On the other hand, it's starting to be, and I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity to find those cash flow properties, because now the price of real estate is coming back down to what makes sense and what a home really is valued at, versus just people flipping it until the last person's left standing.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever flipped property?
We have, and we flipped it into a cash flow property.
Oh, okay.
But we typically do not buy property to flip. We just had this, there was this one opportunity where we bought some 10 units, and we were going to rent it, and all of a sudden the price was so ridiculously high, we said, well, let's just sell it and move the money somewhere else, and that's what we did, and so now we have a nice apartment building that cash flows. But our plan is always to, when we buy, back to Jim's comment, when I buy a property, it either has to cash flow the day I buy it, or I have to know what I need to do to make it cash flow down the road. You know, I might need to put in repairs. I might need to move out tenants and bring in new tenants. I might need to increase the income in other ways, like putting in washers and dryers or covered parking. So I always look at, what do I need to do so that it will cash flow?
What type of education or training? Because I'm picturing a lot of our listeners, and in particular women, who are saying, geez, I don't know much about the rental business. And there's all these guys on TV selling their systems, and I've certainly seen a lot of that. And in my own practice, even though I have quite a few clients who've done quite well with real estate, I've had quite a few people, mainly non-professionals, people who don't really know real estate, kind of just jump on the bandwagon, and they got hurt.
So
I kind of think that real estate is, investing in real estate is almost a business in and of itself. Can you tell me who you think would be appropriate for it, and who would not, and what kind of people and what kind of training they should go to, should use?
Sure, and I'll be real clear. My asset of choice is real estate. I don't recommend people go into real estate necessarily. There's two things you can invest. You can invest time and you can invest money. And whatever investment you're looking at doing, I would say first invest the time to get educated, whether it's real estate, whether it's business, whether it's stocks, bonds, mutual funds, whether it's commodities, whatever. Because everybody, you know, for example, when I started out, I didn't know anything. about money. I didn't know anything about finance. I didn't know anything about real estate. And I kind of learned, Robert started to teach me what his rich dad taught him, specifically about real estate, and he goes, okay, now you're on your own. You know, and I'm out there struggling and trying to make things work, and I had all the fear, and I had all the doubts, and all of it, and finally did that first deal. So then I continued on with real estate. So I would talk to my girlfriend about real estate for, you know, 2 years I'd be talking to her, and she never wanted to do it. She didn't enjoy it. But she was an accountant, and she took a course on stock trading. And she was on the computer, and she loved stock trading. She actually was trading options, and she learned how to do that. She studied
it. She did it herself?
Educated, and she did it through classes, through books, and through some individuals who were very successful at it. So she found people who were successful at it, and they worked with her. So she basically had a mentor or a coach. But she loved paper assets. She wouldn't touch real estate. And then my other girlfriend, she went into laundromats, coin-operated laundromats.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
She's done very, very well. She bought the first one, and it was just a little cash flow machine, and then she took the cash flow from that and bought a second one. So the most important thing is to find the asset class that most interests you. What are you interested in? What do you want to learn? And then from there, that's where you'll have your greatest success, in my opinion.
Hey, we are going to take a quick break, Jim and Kim. Our guest tonight is Kim Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Woman and host of the PBS special Finding the Rich Woman in You. We'll be back in just a minute. It is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Talking more smart money. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm Beth Bershock, along with Jim Lang and our guest, Kim Kiyosaki, who is the author of the best-selling book, Rich Woman, and host of the PBS special, Finding the Rich Woman in You. And that's what we're trying to do tonight, find the rich woman in you. Hey, I want to mention really quickly, too, about the seminar we were just talking about, the workshop, which is coming up this Saturday at the Pittsburgh Golf Club on August 29th. We have two events, one from 9:30 to 11:30, and then one from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. But we are almost at capacity. We only have a few spaces left. So if you want to attend the one this weekend, you really should call the toll-free number tonight. So let me give you the number again. It's 800-748-1571. Again, we are almost filled up. We do have some more coming up in the fall. You can find those on retiresecure.com. But if you want to attend this Saturday, I would call, get signed up tonight, 800-748-1571. And by the way, if you have a question for Kim tonight, 412-333-9385. Anybody that gets on the air, we're going to toss you a free copy, too, of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. Hey, Kim, before we get into the solution to all of these problems for women, I have a question that I wanted to toss out. I didn't see this in your book, and I'm just wondering what you think. Do you think that some of the problems with women being uneducated about money are generational? And by that, I mean, I know some women that are in the retirement age bracket who have never written a check.
Shocking.
And then most women that at least I know, my age, have a fairly good handle their own finances, know how to do investments. I'm just wondering what you think about that.
I definitely think the younger generations are more in the, especially the women, young women, and as women in their 20s, 30s, I think they do have a better handle on things because they've seen a lot of jobs disappear and no job loyalty and couples and divorce and all of that. So I think they do have a bit of a better understanding that you really cannot necessarily depend upon a husband or a job or even a family member to take care of you. And I still, though, on the other side of that, I still to this day hear, I just heard it the other day, heard about a mother who's talking to her daughter about, finding the Prince Charming, and, you know, it's
this was an actual conversation?
Yes, it's about, well, maybe, you know, the best thing is that she find a rich man. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
In this day and age, I mean, what's the number one thing couples fight about is money. What's the, you know, leading cause of divorce is money. But I do think women are waking up to the fact that they do have to take care of themselves financially. And that's why I think it's so important what you and Jim do, is because you are educating people. And I think, you know, that education is not taught in school. They don't teach money in most schools. They don't teach people how to invest, how to manage, and how to grow their money. They don't do that in school. So you having the seminars, I really encourage people to attend your seminar, because the very first gift Robert gave me after we met was an accounting course.
That's romantic.
Yes, very romantic. He wanted to make sure I knew my assets from my liabilities. And I'm a seminar, not a seminar junkie, but I get such value from attending seminars. I learn something at every one I attend. So if you're sitting there and listening and thinking maybe this is for me, I would highly recommend it, because this kind of information is just not taught in most schools. It's not taught. The people who are really, quote, educating us are banks, brokerage firms, you know, people that are just there to sell you something. They're not really there to educate you as Beth, you and Jim are, in my opinion.
One of the things that you mentioned when you talked about some of the statistics that were pretty eye-opening, and it relates back to something that I see in my practice. So let's even say that you married or are married to somebody who you thought was Prince Charming, mm-hmm. and you're going along and you're seeing your... And let's even say that there are some investments, and... one of the things that I have found, and I have a lot of cheap clients, but two of the things that I have found is, let's assume that one of the spouses is working and the other one is not, and I know that you want to change that and you want to get the non-working spouse either investing or doing something to provide for themselves. But I found people are very reluctant to spend money on life insurance, and I think often the surviving spouse, and this often happens in second marriages, is not provided for, and that's usually women.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I see is when I see a husband retiring and choosing to accept a pension, a lot of times he'll do it for one life. And I'm thinking, well, what happens when you die if you predecease your spouse, and then there she is, older, presumably more difficult to find a job at that stage in her life, without an income.
Yeah.
And it just bothers me, and I think if now at that point, you know, I try to actually stick up for the financially dependent spouse and say, hey, no, we either need more life insurance or we need to make this pension a two-life. I don't know if you've run into that type of thing, in your discussions and in your, on your TV show, but I think that's just kind of basic stuff that a lot of people miss.
Yeah, I don't get that type of detail. I mean, that's your forte and that's your expertise. I do get something very similar though, in that the million-dollar question is, you know, I want to start investing, but my spouse isn't interested. And so somebody, and I hear this more from the women, because women tend to want to include their family in what they're doing. So if a woman wants to start investing or wants to start managing the money and wants to start growing her money or his money or the family money, let's say the household money, she often wants to include her spouse in it. And if he's not interested, sometimes that holds her back. The men will invest and manage the money regardless of if she's involved or not. And that's one difference that I see. And my advice to the women is simply, you just got to start and you just got to do it. You provide a very valuable service, Jim, in that you are really encouraging women to start looking after their money and start taking care of themselves financially. Because so often, I mean, as you were saying, Beth, you know, I just heard a story of a 57-year-old woman, and just as you said, she doesn't even know how to write a check. And she's 57 years old.
That just boggles my mind. I don't understand how. I don't understand it.
And you know, the statistic about if after a divorce, first year after divorce, a woman's standard of living drops an average of 45%. You know, the married women that are out there, ask yourself, you know, if you were to divorce or if your husband were to pass away, do you know what you have?
Well, actually, I think that's why some people stay married.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're afraid that they won't be able to provide for themselves.
Right, or they haven't worked in 20 years and they just think there's just no way they could pull it together.
Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest crime at all, to stay in an unhappy marriage because of money.
Now, if we go back, and do you think this goes all the way back to when these women are girls? Why is it that women are not educated financially, but a lot of guys seem to, they just know it off the top of their head?
I don't know the answer to that. I do see there's a lot of conditioning for women to, you know, they're almost taught instead of being taught to you know, take care of themselves financially, we're actually, many of us are taught to be dependent on somebody, to depend on somebody else. And again, I do see that changing now with the younger generation coming up. But I do think it's partly conditioning. I think it's partly all the stories that are told, the advertising that's out there. It's still keeping, in many respects, it's got the women in the traditional role.
I think you're absolutely right. And part of it isn't necessarily that men know all that much more. They just have a little bit more bravado.
Yes.
And are willing to do it. So you know, I sometimes see clients come in, and the husband, even though he thinks he knows something, he's really kind of clueless. And the wife is...
Even though he thinks he knows something.
Well,
you notice how he slipped that in there? Even though he thinks he knows something, he's really clueless.
Well, maybe that isn't fair, but a lot of times he'll have some bravado and he'll say things with such certainty, and I'm sitting there thinking, no, you know, you're absolutely wrong. And then I would sometimes turn to her and say, what do you think? And she says, well, I go along with whatever he says. And then I'm thinking, oh, this is really bad.
You know, it's funny because sometimes I'll be talking to a real estate agent or a stockbroker or whatever, and they'll start throwing out all this jargon. All, you know, they'll say, the derivative here and the P.E. ratio and the cap rate and all this stuff. And I stop them and I say, would you explain what that means? And they can't. They can't give me they just start talking. They can't give me just a concrete answer. So I think one of the first things in terms of educating yourself, one of the first things you need to do is learn the language of investing, learn the language of money, because they're just words.
And I thought one of the great things about your book is that you have a glossary at the back.
Yes.
So if somebody's reading and they don't understand the term, they can just go to the glossary and read it. And the other thing that was pretty interesting is your glossary did not read like Black's Law Dictionary. Mm-hmm. It read like a straightforward, here's what's going on. Cash flow is having more money coming in than going out. And it was refreshing, not necessarily...
Oh, thank you.
Not,
thank you.
Obviously not written by a lawyer.
It's got to be simple so I can understand it. That's the rule.
Now, Kim, what if you're listening to this show tonight and you're a woman and you're listening to the show and you realize we're talking about you? We're saying you need to get educated, and somebody's listening tonight and thinking, boy, that's me. I really have no idea what's going on. I need to get a clue. Where can they even start?
Well, you could start at a library. I mean, I would probably start with a book, your book or my book, to be
both,
honest.
Well, you know what, Kim, let's go with both books.
Let's be blunt here. I would start with a book, or I'd go online. And even online, it's confusing a little bit. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot of websites out there. I would just take it step by step. Just, you know, read a book, get an audio tape, get a DVD, attend a seminar, attend a meeting. Just start getting yourself in the world of money. And I'll give you one tip that just worked really well. For me, if I put a little money down, my interest level soars. So one thing I say to people is, one thing that they could do is today you could go out and buy a 1 ounce silver coin. You go to a precious metals store, they'd be one in many corners of Pittsburgh and most major cities. You go out and you buy a 1 ounce silver coin. Today it's going to cost you about $16, $17. And because you've put that $16 or $17 down and you've parted with that money, all of a sudden your interest level in silver goes up. So you can go online and you watch, is the price of silver up? Is it down? What's it doing? Why is it changing? You'll start to see articles in newspapers and magazines about silver and gold and precious metals. And just because you put a little money down, you become this quasi-expert on this commodity called silver. And so that's how I like to sometimes play the game, is just put a little money down, you know, $10, $20, and that alone will get your interest going.
I think that makes a lot of sense. By the way, in terms of which books, I actually think that your book is terrific for getting women in the right mindset to to realize it's up to them, don't count on anybody. Rich Dad Poor Dad, I think, is really good for people who are somewhat interested or have an interest in positive cash flow real estate. My book is more the type of thing for IRAs and retirement plans.
Correct. Right.
I guess when it comes down to it, I'm a nice guy and not such a bad boy in
nice
practice.
Guys are good.
But I actually liked what you said, that real estate isn't for everybody, because I was thinking, geez, there's a lot of people that it just isn't appropriate for. And
right.
And I liked your characterization of different types of investments and different purposes.
Yes, and they all do have a purpose. Matter of fact, I'm liking silver and gold right now because of all the they're printing so much money.
So did you go out with $17 and buy a coin? That's what
happened. I bought a few. But I just like it because it's insurance against inflation, and I actually would rather hold my money right now in silver or gold than in a bank.
Have you ever made an absolutely huge mistake with an investment?
Oh yeah, oh yes, I've made a lot of mistakes. Matter of fact, though, the biggest mistake, I actually write about it in my book, the biggest investment mistake I've made actually ended up turning into my very best deal.
Which was what? Tell the story.
Well, the reason was is because I had found this property, and it was in Florida, and many years ago, and it was a big property and a lot more money than I had ever dealt with, and I just got scared, and I started doubting myself and kind of didn't trust myself to get the deal done. And because of that, I brought in the attorneys, I brought in the accountants, I brought in all these people who really didn't have the real estate expertise. And long story short, after many months of negotiations, I lost that deal. And I was really, really, really angry. And first I was angry with the seller, then I was angry with the brokers, and then I was just angry at me for not trusting myself to know how to do a real estate deal. And I was so upset because I had spent all this time and all this money, and because I didn't trust myself or called on the people who knew how to get this deal done, because I didn't do that, long story short, I found this property the next day, made the call, and I live in Phoenix, Arizona, so instead of buying this property in Florida, it was almost the exact same type of property, less money, better cash flow, and 3 blocks from my house.
And that's what you recommend is closer to home, because
I
have a friend in Pittsburgh, and he thinks that right now Florida real estate is the place to go. He said right now nobody in Florida can get a mortgage. So he's going down with some cash, and he says he's buying up, you know, rental units on 10 cents for a dollar, where presumably you couldn't do that in Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh did not go down nearly as much as the national rates, and I know Phoenix was hit pretty hard.
Yes, Phoenix was hit, Vegas, Florida, yes. And that's why I'm saying I don't think it's stopped yet. I think there's still quite a ways to go. They still have all of these loans that are resetting coming up, and so I think there's still going to be more opportunity. But I like what your friend did. He saw the opportunity, and exactly right. In Florida, very difficult to get mortgages. In many places right now, it's difficult to get mortgages, and cash is king in that regard.
And would you basically say that if you can't get a property that's going to be cash flow positive, that you're more likely to walk away from the deal?
If I can't figure out how to make the property cash flow within 6 to 12 months, yeah. I mean, if I don't know the day I buy it that I'm going to be able to make a cash flow, I won't buy it.
Well, and at the risk of sounding too technical, if you're getting cash flow positive properties, whether it's commercial or even residential real estate, and I take it you're a buy and hold type person.
That's
in other words,
correct.
Do you have any opinion on buying real estate within your IRA. That's a
tricky one.
It's a little tricky. Before it was frowned upon. I have a lot of clients who are IRA heavy. Mm-hmm. So for example, they worked in a traditional job. I have a lot of university faculty, a lot of engineers. You know, and Pittsburgh's kind of a working town. A lot of my clients didn't make huge profit, huge salaries, but they were kind of prudent type people, and they put money in their retirement plan, and over time it grew. And I have quite a few people with seven figures in their IRAs and retirement plans, and that's their major asset.
Yes.
And for them to get involved in real estate, one of the ways they could potentially do it that has not been historically popular but I think is growing is actually having the IRA buy the real estate. I don't know if you have any experience in that area or if you have any advice for people
area. I don't have much experience in that at all. Now, are you talking about the IRA would actually buy an individual property?
Yes.
Yeah, can it be rental?
Yes.
Okay, it can be rental. Okay.
Yeah, now there's certain restrictions, and you have to be careful, and you certainly want to get some professional guidance.
Well, that's where you come in. That's your expertise. I would say I would do that because I understand real estate, but you really still want to understand what you're buying and understand the income and the expenses and the debt involved. It's the same amount of knowledge you would need, but with extra knowledge, with your expertise on how you do it within an IRA.
Well, the other thing that it might not work is there's certain restrictions on the amount of input that you have. In other words, you really can't do this if you are the hands-on manager.
Oh, okay.
All right,
okay.
So there's some restrictions. I don't know how personally involved you are with your properties or whether you get agents to do the leasing and to take care of some of the maintenance.
Well, that's actually the key of real estate is your property management. So I do have properties that I manage, and then the larger properties I have property managers. But I'm always looking at I'm going to the properties, and I'm always looking at the numbers every month. And I think to be in any asset class, whether it's paper assets, whatever asset class it is, you've got to be that diligent. And you've got to be looking at your numbers on a regular basis and paying attention to what you have bought. I'm sure that's what you recommend in your classes, is to not just blindly turn your money over and let somebody manage it for you, but to really be prudent and be diligent. I think that's a key.
Yeah, I hate to say this, Kim, but that doesn't sound like being retired to me. that sounds like you're doing a little bit of work for this money.
I tell you, people say to me, you're the hardest working retired person I know.
I'm telling you, you said you wanted to get another 500 units before the year was out.
I know, I'm running out of time. I've got to really hurry.
What do you do? Do you travel around the country looking for things?
No, I have people that are looking for me now. You know, when I started out, I didn't know anybody, so I had to, keep out there and keep looking and looking and looking. And now that I've been doing this for 20 years, I have people, and they know what I want, and they know what I'm looking for.
Do you have property everywhere?
Not really. I really do stay close to home, which is what I recommend. So I have a lot of property in Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona, Flagstaff, Arizona. And then I do have property in Oklahoma. Again, that kind of fits in with Robert and his oil wells, because you want to buy property where there are jobs.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that works. Texas we're looking at right now as well. But, no, I pretty do stay close to home whenever possible. And plus, the Arizona market is a good market for rental properties.
Our guest tonight, Kim Kiyosaki, who is the author of the best-selling book, Rich Woman. And you just mentioned Robert. He is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Do you two ever collaborate on projects like that?
We do. We're a very good team. And, we started the Rich Dad Company back in 96, and we still to this day we're still pretty hands-on with it as well, because we enjoy it so much. We enjoy business, and that's so much of our conversation is around business and around
Like you're
money.
Sitting around, you're having dinner, and
yeah, we're talking about...
And you're talking about oil wells.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
That's fascinating conversation.
I think one way to get people thinking about investments is actually a game. And I understand that you and Robert are both really gamesters at heart, and you came up with your own game. And that might be a very interesting way, particularly to get young people. I know my daughter is a gamester. She loves, you know, she does virtually any game that you can think of. She really enjoys. And I could actually picture her.
How does it work? How does the game work?
Well, thank you for bringing it up, because this is also a way that people can get educated, and they can get educated for free, and I'll explain that. We created a board game called Cash Flow, simply because when Robert and I did, quote, retire, which really isn't the right word, but once we became financially independent, people kept asking us how we did it. And so instead of us traveling all over the world explaining what we did, we created this board game that shows you the different strategies, talks about capital gains and cash flow, actually has different kinds of deals, all sorts of stocks, mutual funds, real estate, businesses, all the different asset classes are on the game board.
You buy it up as you go around?
Uh-huh, you do, and you create and you keep accumulating your cash flow. And just as we did in real life, once you have more cash flow and passive income coming in from your investments than you have living expenses, you are officially out of the rat race.
Do you ever play this game with Robert?
We play it every day in real life.
You know, this could be one of those things. It sounds like the kind of game where, you know how people get really testy when you play Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
And you buy
yes.
up There's, all of the properties, and yes. they and you, then you build hotels, and they get all crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like a similar kind of a deal.
You know what's so interesting about it is you get to see people's behavior when it comes to money. Do they hang on to their money? Are they risky
That's right.
with their money? What do they do? Especially if you're about to get married. You should play this game.
Yeah, good idea.
But what's happened now is and this happened not through our company, it just happened spontaneously, is people all over the world started forming these cash flow clubs. And so people get together on a regular basis, and most places do this for free, and they get together and they play the game, and the purpose of the game was for people to teach other people. And that's what's been happening. So you could even go to our website, richdad.com, and some of the clubs that where you can go and find these clubs all over, and I know Pittsburgh has some, and you can go play the game for free. So that has been happening over the last few years, and we're really excited about it, because that really was the purpose for the game, was to educate people, teach people, and have other people teach other people.
And can you get the game on richdad.com?
You can get the game, and we purposely have not priced it like Monopoly. It's $195, because if you're going to pay $195, you're going to play the game.
I'm going to play the game every night if I bought that for $195.
Yes.
Well, I actually think that's smart, because that means you have to have literally skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you don't want to have pretend investments, you actually want somebody to even just plunk down $17. That means that they're actually making an investment.
That's right. And the beauty of the game is you get to make all these mistakes with play money.
Yeah, that's the best way to make the mistakes.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a really quick break here. We're with Kim Kiyosaki, the best-selling author of Rich Woman. It is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Talking more smart money, and it's Beth Burshak along with Jim Lang, author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. And we have Kim Kiyosaki with us, who is the best-selling author of Rich Woman, host of the PBS special Finding the Rich Woman in You. Her husband and business partner, also together, they founded the Rich Dad Company. Robert, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And we were just talking about the website, Kim, because you have a game on there called Cash Flow.
Yes.
And what other resources do you have? I mean, we've been talking about one of the biggest things is to get women educated. That's the starting point, the really huge point. What other resources can they find on your website? And it's richdad.com.
Well, we actually have a richwoman.com website right now. And your timing is perfect, because in about 1 week or 6 days from now, we are launching a fully new richwoman.com site. And it will be more interactive. It'll be where women can come together to learn from one another, to teach one another, We're going to have a lot of discussion forums. There's going to be exercises, quizzes, things like that. So I'm really excited about that, and I really do want to turn it into a gathering place for women to come together, learn, mentor, really take charge of their money, and ideally become financially secure and ultimately financially independent, because so often the only time women start to pay attention to their money is when they've had a wake-up call.
And sometimes that's later in their life.
Yes, and it's later in their life, and it's tougher to turn around at that point. So I say, you know, prepare now. If that wake-up call happens, you're going to be better off, and if it doesn't happen, you'll still be in great shape.
Do you think that is the biggest financial mistake that women make, is just not getting educated?
I do. Number one, sometimes they don't even know to get educated, and then once they get that idea, then it's, where do I start, how do I begin, what questions do I ask? And I just find you just take the first step, whatever that might be for you. You know, it might be learning how to get out of debt. It might be learning how to open an IRA account. It might be how to, you know, start, you know, paying more attention to the money coming in. What are you doing with that money? Where is it going? So you just get started, I think, is the most important thing, because there's such a wealth of information out there. And I was just in Honolulu, and I heard a great saying, and they said, especially in this economic time, they said, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf.
Oh, that's a great one.
And I thought that was key, especially for this time in our history.
And is it fair to say that having some, let's call it, nice guy education, like 401ks and Roth IRA conversions, which Roth IRA conversions, by the way, that might even qualify for bad boys, because because for some of that, let's even take you and Robert, I assume that you have some money in IRAs and retirement plans, and this would be an opportunity for you to make a Roth IRA conversion and have that money grow income tax free for the rest of your lives. And if you leave money to any private heirs, you know, whether it be in other people's cases, children or maybe nieces, nephews or friends or whatever, have it grow income tax free for generations. But then also, I think what you're saying is get educated so let's call that investment environment, IRA, 401k, 403b, Roth IRA, Roth IRA conversion, that kind of thing. But you're also saying get educated in the actual investment, whether it be stocks, bonds, tax lien certificates, real estate, or whatever seems to be of the most interest to you.
Exactly. To be aware of what you're investing in, to understand if you are going to, you know, go into whatever the asset class is, to really study it, do your homework, learn it, so that you are prepared to make so you can make smart decisions. Now, we also have people in our lives such as that do what you do, Jim, and advise us on our estate planning and how best to prepare for our future. And that's key, because you've got to have people around you who really are looking out for your interests, because I always say, be careful who you take financial advice from. You know, I want people who are really going to truly educate me, which is what you do. You're an educator versus somebody that's just out there to sell you something. They're not really there to give you financial advice.
That is a big difference.
It's a huge difference, and I've seen so many people, and especially women, who have really been hurt by thinking they're getting advice when they're getting a sales pitch.
Well,
the key is just to get people around you that do things that, such as you do, who really are looking out for your best interests.
And part of that also is a matter of training. If you basically, let's say, have a degree in sales or marketing, and then your financial background is, you know, let's say the internal education at a particular brokerage company or at a particular insurance company, then basically you're learning how to sell, whereas, you know, let's say, as opposed to CPAs and attorneys and people who are in the service business, it's a little bit of a different orientation.
Who always analyze as well.
Right. I think the most important thing is for people to feel that they are in control, because right now people feel so out of control with this economy, they kind of feel like they're at the mercy of it, instead of understanding what's happening, understanding what investments and what money you have and how it's working for you, so that whichever way the economy goes, you're going to be okay.
Hey,
and
Kim,
that's the key.
I want to thank you so much. You've been a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Well, thank you. It's been really enjoyable.
Give the website again. It's Kim Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Woman, and the new website coming very, very soon, richwoman.com.
Correct.
Going to be. It sounds great. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful website. So please visit that website. Check out her book, Rich Woman. And thank you so much for joining us, Kim. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Beth. Thank you, Jim. Really enjoyed it.
I do want to say we have a workshop coming up this Saturday, which is almost full. You were just talking about Roth IRA conversions. That's going to be a big part of this workshop on Saturday. It's at the Pittsburgh Golf Club in Squirrel Hill, 9:30 to 11:30 and 1 to 3. We have very limited space.
What if somebody calls and they can't get into that?
There is one coming up September 19th. That's going to be in Monroeville at the Holiday Inn on Mossside Boulevard. So you can register by calling 800-748-1571. Also, go to retiresecure.com because we have all of that info on the website. And in our last few seconds here, I do want to make an offer for a free financial physical. Here's the scoop. You can call the office at 412-521-2732. If you call tonight, my extension is 219. I will call you back and set this up. And basically what happens here is Jim does a very thorough review with you, looking at estate planning and your retirement planning, your insurance needs, your investments, a Roth IRA analysis. But he is willing to do this free if you call the office and you listen to this show, 412-521-2732. Call my extension 219. We will be back again in 2 weeks. The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Portions of the audio that you just heard will be posted online at retiresecure.com. You can also find a list of upcoming events and topics at retiresecure.com. To seek Jim's advice personally or to speak to a member of his dedicated staff at Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, call 412-521-2732. Join us again in 2 weeks when we talk more smart money.